welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
That all of our help does indeed come from the Lord God who made heaven and earth. Pass us not, O gentle Savior, hear our humble cry. While on others you are calling, do not pass us by. We gather this morning, Lord, in this house, this habitation where your honor dwells, asking, Lord, that as you have a busy schedule this morning, that with all the places that you have to do, Lord, do not pass us by. Come into this place, Lord, for we need to feel you right here. We are grateful, Lord, for 53 years of you stopping by this place. Grateful for 53 years of your anointing falling in this house. But Lord, once again, while on others you are calling, do not pass us by. Somebody needs a word from the Lord today, God. Someone needs to hear a word from you. Someone's life has been filled with words from the enemy all week long. And Lord, this morning we need you to set the record straight. And so, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us and speak through us. You told me a long time ago, Lord, when I stood behind this sacred desk, that you would do the talking. And so we avail ourselves to you right now. Have your way. That is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All honor and praise we give this morning to God, who is our Father, to Christ, our elder brother and redeemer, and to the Holy Spirit, in whom we live, move, and have our being. To all of my brother and sister clergy in the house for their hospitality and their kindness, it is such a blessing, especially to this row to my left and your right of sister clergy who are gathered with us today. We thank God for them and for their blessing. It is such a blessing and an honor, Redeemer, to be with you here on your 53rd anniversary. Coming to the Church of the Redeemer for me is like going to a family reunion. There are so many people here who I have known for a very long time, so many people here who have been a blessing to my ministry and the work that we do, so many people who have even gone home to be with the Lord, who have been so instrumental in my ministry, Sister Kirkland, Deacon Noel, name that you all may not recognize, but her name, Sandra Pollard, who was like a mother to me, was actually a founder of this church. She went back to Union, and then in her last days were with us at Grace, and she passed earlier this year. But Sandy was a mother to me here in Philadelphia and loved this church to death, amen, and loved the Church of the Redeemer. So it is a blessing to be here. It is a blessing to know that the spirit that I have always experienced here has not changed, amen. Listen, people change, situations change. If we're honest, pastors change, but the spirit don't change, amen. And regardless of who's sitting in what chair, the spirit of God is still in this place, amen. And you all continue to walk and to work in that spirit. There are still way too many unsaved folk, Lord have mercy, walking around the streets of Philadelphia for any of us to think that our work is over. But there is still work to be done in the name of the Lord here in South Philadelphia. And for that reason, we thank God for the Church of the Redeemer. I don't want to be before you long, but if you be so kind as to turn with me to the Acts of the Apostles, we'll find a familiar section of Scripture in the 16th chapter. I'm going to begin reading in the 22nd verse. Acts chapter 16, because this is such a familiar story, I don't need to read the whole thing for you, but let me glean on just a section of it. Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 22. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Yeah. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, we are still here." Then he called for light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Yes, they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." I want to preach this morning from just very briefly from the thought, a minor setback, a major comeback. March 31st, 2013, during that wonderful spring sports event that we know as March Madness, the first half of an elite game against Duke, Kevin Ware, a shooting guard for the Louisville Cardinals, jumped in the air to try to block a three-point shot. Kevin Ware landed so awkwardly on his leg that ABC had to make a quick decision to turn their cameras away from him so that the nation would not have to see what had happened to his leg. But you see, when Kevin Ware came down on his leg, he shattered his leg to the point that his tibia came protruding outside of the skin. For moments, he lay there on the floor. Minutes, moments turned into minutes as his teammates, you could see, were visibly shaken. Even the Duke players were sitting there praying for this young man for such a gruesome injury. They put him on a stretcher, led him immediately to the Methodist Hospital of Indianapolis, where in a two-hour surgery, a titanium rod was inserted into his leg where his bone used to be. A couple of weeks after that, Kevin Ware did a press conference. And everyone who was watching and at the press conference expected a very somber, a very hurt young man to come and speak before the nation. But Kevin Ware came out with a smile on his face, with a very upbeat spirit as he answered all of the questions. You see, his life had just been turned upside down. What he was planning on being his career now seems impossible. He was supposed to be a draft pick. Now there was a question on whether he would even walk again. But here he was answering every question that the reporters posed to him until one of them asked a critical question. The reporter said, "Kevin, how is it that you in this condition are standing here and you are in such a pleasant disposition in your life?" And Kevin looked that reporter dead straight in the face and gave a declaration that I shared to you this morning when he said, "This is a minor setback that eventually will lead to a major comeback." I don't know if Kevin knew how theologically sound he was in that declaration, but I want to share to you this morning. He said something that I believe can be a blessing in each and every one of our lives. But if you are going to be blessed by what Brother Ware said that day, the first thing we must admit that in all of our lives, there are going to be setbacks. If you're sitting in here this morning, we got to admit that even for those of us that love the Lord, in life, there will be some setbacks. There will be some times where life just ain't going to go the way it's supposed to go. There are going to be some times when every hill you climb seems to be all the way uphill. There are going to be some times that in spite of your best efforts, you're going to find yourself losing on every hand. In life, there will be some setbacks. Is there an honest Christian in here this morning that knows that even while you love the Lord, you've had some setbacks? That even while you love the Lord, that there have been times in your life when it seems like everything that you're trying to do goes wrong? There will be setbacks in your relationship. There will be setbacks in your finances. There will be setbacks on your job and in your employment. In each and every one of our lives, there will be setbacks. And if setbacks aren't bad enough, isn't it interesting how setbacks have the most unopportune timing? How they seem to come into our life as soon as things start to look good, as soon as our step starts to come in, as soon as everything starts to line up, who comes and knocks on our door but setback? But I've come here to tell somebody this morning that even in the midst of your setback, God is still up to something. Paul and Silas, the Bible tells us, have made their way to Caesarea Philippi, where they are preaching the word of God. They encounter a young lady there who is possessed by a demon. And as women in that condition usually are, there are men who are taking advantage of her. They are making money off of her until Paul looks at her and calls the demon out of her in the name of Jesus. Now, the men aren't happy about that. And so they have Paul and Silas arrested. They have them beaten with rods. They have them thrown in jail. That is a setback. They came to Caesarea to preach the gospel. They came there to save some souls. They came there to let folk know about Jesus, and now they're locked up in prison. And though it is easy to over-romanticize this situation, these are preachers who is in jail. That's a setback. These are preachers who are locked up. The jailers have been beating them. Even doing God's work, please listen to me, there are going to be setbacks. Even when you love the Lord, even when you're operating under your anointing, even when you are blessed and highly favored, there are still going to be setbacks. Even operating in the church, even operating with God's people, you are going to have setbacks. The preachers have found their way into a setback. And listen, don't think that just because you got deacon behind your name that you will not have setbacks. Don't think that just because you've been to seminary there won't be setbacks. Don't think that just because you sing on the choir there won't be setbacks. Don't think that just because they let you usher in the center aisle that there won't be setbacks. But even for those of us that love the Lord, setbacks will come. I've come by here to suggest to you this morning that if you pay close attention to this text, that we will find that Kevin Ware was absolutely right. This is a minor setback that can lead to a major comeback. First part you got to understand about your setback. I love what Mr. Ware said, but my favorite word in that whole statement is the adjective minor. He says this is a minor setback. Somebody's saying, but brother, you just tore your leg off. That you now have a titanium rod in your leg. They don't even know if you're going to run, shoot, jump, do any of that again. What do you mean a minor setback? Here is the biggest problem with our setbacks is we give our setbacks too much credit. We make our setbacks too big. We give them too much power. As little mama used to say, we know how to make a mountain out of a molehill. We will take something that's not that big, but let the devil get his hands on it. He will convince us it's bigger than it is. The devil is a master at taking a small thing and convincing you it's a big thing. Taking a small mistake and convincing you it's a life-changing mistake. Taking a small matter and making it big. We give our setbacks too much credit. And when you give your setbacks too much credit, you now give them too much power, and they now have power over your lives. How you handle your setback starts with how you look at it. It starts with the perspective you bring to your setback, because if you take the right perspective, you can control and dominate your setback. A couple of years ago, I was bivocational. I was teaching physics at Mastery Charter School while I was pastoring. And one of the lessons that I would use in the lab is we would do a lesson on lenses. Because here's one of the interesting things about a concave lens is that you can take an object, put it under the lens, and if you turn the lens a certain direction, it will magnify the object. It will make it look bigger. But if you take that same lens and just flip it around the other way, it'll now make it look smaller. In other words, how you view it and what lens you view it out of will decide how big it is to you. And here's what happens with our setbacks. When we view our setbacks out of the enemy's lens, it will always look bigger than it really is. It will always look more magnified than it really is. But sometimes you just got to flip that thing around, because if you view it out of God's eyes and you know who you are and whose you are, you will know that your setback has no power over you. Sometimes you got to look again. Let me see if I can get a biblical witness to this. There was a story in 2 Kings chapter 6 about King Aram of Syria who was attacking God's people. The wonderful thing about God's people is they had a secret weapon. They had a prophet named Elisha who was telling them everything that the king was doing. Eventually, the king of Syria realized that his real enemy was Elisha, and so he called his entire army off the battlefield and sent them to Dothan, where Elisha was staying. The army surrounded the city. When Elisha's servant woke up in the morning and went outside to prepare to leave, he noticed that they were surrounded. An entire army had came there to kill two people. He went back inside the house and woke up the prophet and said, "Prophet, we got a problem." The prophet Elisha just yawned a little bit and stretched and said, "Go outside and look again." And when the servant went outside and looked a second time, he noticed there was another army behind the first army, and that army had chariots of fire and angelic horsemen. I don't know who the Lord sent me by here to talk to this morning, but somebody needs to hear the Lord saying, "Look again." You think that thing will destroy you? Look again. You think that it will kill you? Look again. Because God is still on the throne. Look again. God is still in control. Look again. In spite of your setback, sometimes all you got to do is look again. Stop telling God how big your setback is, and start telling your setback how big your God is. Stop trying to convince God that he can't handle what you're going through, and let what you're going through know that the God you serve can handle anything. I don't care how big it seems to you right now. Turn it over to the Lord and let God have it and see if he cannot handle even your setback. Paul and Silas have been thrown in prison, but they refuse to allow the lens that they're viewing this from to destroy them. The Bible says that in spite of that, they're still doing what the Lord wants them to do. Here's point number two. If you are going to turn your setback into a comeback, you cannot allow your setback to change who you are. Word says that these preachers have been thrown in prison. Watch this. They're not doing what the rest of the prisoners are doing. They are continuing to be the men God has called them to be. It doesn't say that they're playing cards. It doesn't say that they're selling smokes. It doesn't say that they're doing what the other prisoners are doing. It says that around midnight, they were praying and singing hymns. And if you are going to defeat every setback in your life, you cannot allow your setback to change who you are. You must hold on to who God made you to be. In this life, I believe that there are basically two types of people. There are thermostats. And there are thermometers. Two of them might sound very similar if you look at the prefix, but they're actually very different. The difference is subtle between a thermometer and a thermostat. A thermometer changes based on the conditions that are around it. If it's hot, the thermometer goes up, and if it's cold, the thermometer goes down. The thermometer changes based on the situation it finds itself in. And in the church, please listen to me, there are many thermometers. There are a whole lot of us that change based on the conditions that we're in. If God's been good to us, then we're going to be good to God. If we feel like we've been blessed and we got a blessing from the Lord, a whole lot of us change even our praise based on what we're going through. You can tell some folk and where they are in their life just based on how they praise, because some of us only have a shout when we feel like the Lord has blessed us, and we only have a hand wave when we feel like we have a reason to wave our hands. That is a thermometer. The Lord is not looking for thermometers. The Lord is looking for thermostats, because thermostats don't change based on the conditions. Thermostats change the conditions. Thermostats don't change based on what's going on around them. Thermostats change what's going on around them. In other words, if you are going to be what God has called you to be, you must have the type of personality that in spite of what you're going through, you're not going to let it change you. You're going to change it. You're not going to let a situation dictate you. You will dictate it. You're not going to let what's going on around you dictate how you praise. You're going to praise anyhow. David was not a thermometer. David was a thermostat. Because David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually. You're going to work this thing. First of all, you got to make sure that you view your setback through the proper lens. Secondly, you got to make sure that the situation doesn't change you. You change the situation. If you do all of that, listen to me. You will encounter, I believe, this anointed presence that Paul and Silas experienced. When the Bible says that around midnight, they were praying and singing hymns. Let me go back to the beginning. They've been locked up. That's a setback. They have been beaten with rods. That's a setback. They have been locked in chains. That's a setback. But around midnight, they were praying and singing hymns, and the Bible says the earth started to shake. Come back. The Bible says that the prison doors opened. Come back. The Bible says that they walked out on their own. Come back. The Bible says that the same jailer that beat them said, what must I do to be saved? Come back. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? In spite of your setback, if you do what the Lord told you to do, I promise you there's a comeback on the way. Can I get another witness? I hear a brother named Joseph say, my brothers threw me in a ditch, setback. They sold me into slavery in Egypt, setback. Potiphar's wife accused me of raping her, setback. I had to go to prison, setback. They forgot about me for 12 years, setback. But Pharaoh had a dream, comeback. He called for Joseph, comeback. I interpreted the dream, comeback. I told them to save up, comeback. My own brothers came and needed me to bless them. And I said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He's the God of a comeback. Can I get another witness? I hear three Hebrew boys saying they turned it up seven times, hotter setback. They threw us in a fiery furnace setback. That I hear Nebuchadnezzar say, we threw three in. Whether that fourth one come, that must be the Son of God. Come back. I need one more witness. Judas kissed him on the cheek, setback. They marched into Caiaphas' house, setback. Peter denied him three times, setback. They put a crown of thorns on his head, setback. They put a cross on his back, setback. They marched him up Golgotha's hill, setback. They nailed him to a cross, setback. They pierced him in the side, setback. He hung his head and died, setback. He was dead all day Friday, setback. He was dead all day Saturday, setback. But early on Sunday morning, he got up. He's the God of a comeback. Can I get a witness today? He is the comeback king. He is the comeback God. He will take what you're dealing with. You can have a comeback in the God that I serve. Somebody here today knows you are a walking and talking comeback. Somebody here today knows that you are a praying and professing comeback. Somebody here today knows you may not look like it, because you may not look what you like what you've been through, but you are standing here this morning. I'm standing here this morning as a witness that the Lord will take your setback and use it to produce a comeback in your life. Is there anybody here that knows that God is able, that God is able to do exceedingly? If you're worshiping with us this morning and you don't know this comeback king I'm talking about, I want to present him to you this morning. I want you to know this morning that your past does not have to dictate your future. I want you to know this morning that in spite of where you've been, in spite of what you have done, that he desires, listen, he specializes in taking the things that you see that seem impossible to you and using them to make something beautiful in your life. All things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. There is a comeback in your future if you will acknowledge it. Amen. So this morning, if you are worshiping with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in the pardoning of your sins, you are just steps away from having a comeback in your life. Or if you already know him in the pardoning of your sin, but you are not a part of a church home where you are living and growing in the Lord, there's a comeback in your future as well. Or maybe you've been a part of a church home and you have fallen out of fellowship, then you absolutely need to come back to the one who made you, to the church that grew you. The doors are open to you right now. There's someone who's worshiping with us and you want to come and give your life to Jesus Christ. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've done. He knows your situation. You can't hide it from him. He understands the steps of your life that have brought you to this very moment. And in this very moment, his hands are stretched out towards you because he wants you to get you back to where you're supposed to be. Amen. So if you're here with us this morning, you want to give your life to Christ. You want to reunite with the Lord. If you want to recommit yourself to him, why don't you step out into the aisles and come down today? Present yourself before the church that you may accept the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Is there one who wishes to come today? Our doors are open to you.